Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Second hour of four, Grant and Danny on the Fan. The Nationals were swept by the Mets. The end is nigh for Dave Martinez. Barry Sfalugo of the Washington Post wrote a column that we read this morning and figured we got to get him on to talk about this. Right after the game, it came out online. Dave Martinez's time as an effective leader of the Nats is over, Sfalugo wrote, if it ever existed. Nice guy, solid baseball man and all that. Did he make Adam Eaton miss first base in the first inning Thursday? No. Did he fail to score Juan Soto after a leadoff triple? No. Goes on to write that maybe making the move doesn't solve a whole lot of things, but that Davey Martinez is more a problem than a solution. Barry, thanks so much for a couple of moments. He's on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Let's start with this. What would have to happen in this Marlins series for Davey Martinez to lose his job? How close are we, do you think?
You know, I'm confused about that because I think that the natural time to do it, if you're going to make a move, would have been tell Martinez last night when they got home from the train ride, from New York, and then move on today with the new person. You had kind of a day game, a break with the travel, and it seemed like a natural spot. To my knowledge, that hasn't happened, and it's not expected to happen before game one of the Marlins series tonight. So I'm interested to see if Mike Rizzo chats with us prior to the game. Does he give a vote of confidence? Does he not come out and talk because he is not in position to give a vote of confidence? So I would be guessing if I said, if they lose 3 or 4 to the Marlins, then he's definitely out. I don't know that. I don't know that anybody knows that.
So, Barry, I'm with you on this column. I think it's a secondary item. I mean, obviously, it's the news of the day. It's the thing that can be controlled within the next week or two or month, whenever it happens, moving on from Davey Martinez. But this is a bigger picture, organizational, what direction do you want to go for the next couple years type decision, right? If you're just saying we're going to blame the manager, this group's good enough, I would take issue with that. If you want to blow it up, I'd probably take issue with that too. If you want to kind of walk in the middle of the road and not add or not subtract as they kind of did last year, I take issue with that as well. To me, the bigger picture is what the ownership wants to do here. What are you hearing in that regard, and what do you think?
Well, I think that if there is reluctance to fire the manager, it does come from ownership. And that may be, it's been suggested to me that that could be twofold. One, it would be, they have to admit the mistake they made, not only in hiring Martinez and perhaps misevaluating what his strengths would be as a manager, but also, you know, the inevitable Dusty Baker references are going to come up, not because he didn't botch a couple of moves in playoff series, but because he won 192 games in two seasons and two division titles. If you make a replacement in that chair, you're supposed to be making an improvement, and it's clear that they did not. Organizationally, in terms of roster, that's going to be more interesting to me. I think there are some obvious moves that you could make to strengthen. If this season is lost, which it appears to be, there are ways to strengthen future rosters while, you know, obviously decimating one that is not going to compete. And the two obvious moves are Anthony Rendon, if you cannot sign him to an extension. That's another big question. What progress has been made there? Has any progress been made there? I'm not entirely sure on that. But if you can't get it done, if he's going to insist on something closer to Arenado money, 8 years, $260 million, then you've got to trade him. You can't fall into what you did with Bryce Harper last year and have a deal in place and have ownership not be able to pull the trigger. Sean Doolittle is the other really attractive trade piece because he's an effective closer despite what happened Wednesday night. He's at a great price with a $6.5 million option next year. He brings real value to a contender as a closer or a setup man, also a lefty. So you can't you know, hope and hope and hope all summer that this is going to come together. You've got assets here that are not going to be with you forever. You've got to decide, when are we next going to be able to contend, and who do we want to have around at that time?
Barry Svrluga of the Washington Post. Barry, I want to give you just kind of like my Rendon plan and then get you to react to it. I want to see where you agree or disagree. I would do everything I can to sign him. I think specifically after losing Harper, it'd be unprecedented to lose two players of that caliber over 2 years. And I was pro the decision they made on Harper. I would be anti letting Rendon walk out the door. I think he's a more complete player and a championship piece that they need to keep for this fan base now. But that said, look, it takes two. If he doesn't want to sign a deal and you go up to, say, $230 million or something like that and it's still not enough, okay, fine, then I got to trade him. So if I can't get a deal done, I'm trading him. But my attempt to trade to sign him, I think, would be far more substantial than the Lerner's, and I know it's their money. But I would do everything I could, even during this disastrous year, to lock him up, to keep him. Because there's a foundation with Soto, with Robles, with Turner, with potentially Scherzer and Strasburg and Corbin, where you actually could be very competitive next year after fixing your bullpen. You got $18 million coming off the books from Zimmerman, $9 million coming off the books from Dozier. You could still compete pretty quickly without having to completely detonate this thing if you kept Rendon. Jump in and kind of tell me what you think about all that.
Well, I completely agree. But if Anthony Rendon turns down a $230 million offer from the Nationals, I would be my jaw would hit the floor. I think that would be plenty to get it done. So we don't know right now what has been offered, what has been rejected, what has been counteroffered. Your sentiment is correct in my mind. You try to sign this guy. He is your best player. He is your most accomplished player. Other than Scherzer, your best position player. You know, Soto and Robles have tons of potential and have shown, I mean, particularly Soto over the course of last year, that they could be really key cornerstone pieces to a franchise going forward. They are not ready for that yet, and you need a Rendon. Well, how much better is this lineup? How much better does it look when Anthony Rendon returned from injury than it did even when Soto and Robles were in there without him? So I agree that's a paramount decision, but you know, we didn't know all the back and forth with Harper until well after the fact. I would guess that that's how this will play out. We won't know whether he signs here or whether he doesn't sign and is traded, or doesn't sign and is kept. I don't think we'll know until afterwards how to evaluate what went on in the back and forth between the player and the club.
I know this is hyperbolic, but there's a part of me that kind of says, what do you want to be? I mean, like the A's, they groom these stars in this tiny market and they flip them whenever they become superstar players that their fans love, and they go win MVP awards in other places like Josh Donaldson. I get what they did with Harper perfectly, but at some point, like Strasburg's the one guy they've paid that was their own. And I still think, and this is complete speculation, but I think if they don't shut him down in 2012, that doesn't happen. So I guess my point is you didn't want to go over the luxury tax this year to help your bullpen, to help the back of your rotation, which thank God for the bullpen no one talks about, but is an absolute disaster. And you didn't want to do that, even though the Red Sox blew past it last year and made that money back all the way to the World Series. At some point, you got to figure out what do we want to be here? What market are we in?
Well, I don't disagree with that at all. And I think that, they will almost certainly reset their luxury tax clock this year, and they'll be back to a position where the penalty is not as steep. And if they exceed it in years to come, you know, particularly next year, then they'll be starting at the lower threshold anyway, and the tax won't be as high. That's a thing that that has to happen. It didn't happen last year, and perhaps it affected roster construction over the course of the winter. But I understand what you're saying about homegrown guys and keeping them. I mean, Zimmerman signed two extensions here. Strasburg has signed a long extension. There was a time when we were all up in arms about how can you let Ian Desmond walk away? How can you let Jordan Zimmerman walk away? Turns out that, you know, baseball people making baseball decisions made some pretty good ones. And I was on the wrong side of history in both of those camps. I thought you extend Desmond, you extend Zimmerman, and that would be the core going forward. those guys, love them both. They haven't performed well elsewhere. So I get it. I would be on the I would not only be on the Anthony Rendon, let's get this done now. I would be on the Trey Turner, hey, you're a few years from free agency. Why don't we buy out your arbitration years and then buy out, say, 3 years of free agency? And then you'd still be a free agent at a reasonable age, but you'd also have security. You've shown that, you know, freak injuries or not, you've gotten injured sometimes. That'll affect your paydays to come. I would be in that camp as well. You take a team like the Cardinals, and they haven't had success in the last couple of years in the playoffs, but they've been an annual postseason performer, and they have locked up their homegrown players. So, you know, maybe it's because the Nats have so many Boris guys, and Boris generally doesn't do extensions, obviously Strasburg being the exception. But I get what you're saying. I think that Rendon is as important a piece as this team has right now, and because he's only going to be 29 next month, keeping him here for as a central piece to what you hope would be a contending team 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 8 years from now, that would be important.
Barry, terrific as always, buddy. Thanks for the time, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You enjoy the weekend.
Go read his column. At times like this, there's nobody in town you'd rather get intel and information from than Barry Sfarluga in the Washington Post. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. At 11:45 today, we're winning off the field. And at noon, your Beltway Blitz.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
OTAs ongoing around the league, so there is plenty of NFL news to delve into today. Before we get to our winning off the field segment at 11:45, go blitzing at noon and eventually get back into the Nats. Remember, we do have tickets that could be yours for their series finale against the Marlins on the 27th. Got to be listening at 12:55 today on Grant and Danny. Why don't we start off with Jerry Jones in Dallas on the ongoing contract talks with Dak Prescott.
We're fortunate to have the players that have interest in their contract at the forefront. We're fortunate to have that number of players that have that. We are doing contracts here 100% of the time on the entire Cowboys. And we really never know where we are with anybody until we get one done, and then you know everybody has agreed. But we're moving along satisfactorily with all of our contract negotiations.
That's one of the most confusing quotes I've ever heard in my life.
People speak to one another and there's talking. And when they're talking's not talking no more, there's silence. And then we speak again and there's papers and words on the paper. And sometimes people sign it. There it is. Oh, glory hole.
That quote made no sense.
What a weird nothing sentiment that was for about a minute.
For what it's worth, Prescott one day earlier said he and the Cowboys are very close to getting a deal done. Last year, 22 touchdowns, 8 picks, a 97 rating. 16 starts and less than 4,000 yards. Hands the ball off a lot, uses his feet to extend plays, makes a couple huge games in the second half just about every week. 25 years old, they've been very successful with him as a caretaker. They want to keep him around. They're going to pay him like he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. They're in the boat the Redskins had to figure themselves out of with Kirk Cousins. Some other teams have jumped into, which is, do you want to pay a pretty good quarterback? And he's probably somewhere between the 17th and, I don't know, 16th to 18th best quarterback in the league?
He's good. Honestly, he is. He is what he is. And there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is you're paying for greatness for goodness. You will be disappointed. If you need him to throw 600 times, if you need him to engineer fourth quarter comebacks and make 40 on a dime throws down the field, you're going to be disappointed.
But there's also a school of thought that you've subscribed to and others have over the years, which is if you've got a guy you can win with in a league where you have to have a quarterback who gives you a chance, you hang on to that guy very desperately because you don't want to have to get back into the search, the quest for his replacement.
You should never try to ride that carousel because that carousel sucks.
Here is another Jerry Jones thought. Hopefully this one makes more sense on Ezekiel Elliott. Is he going to be in trouble after the video came out of him knocking over a security guard?
You've been very supportive of Ezekiel Elliott over his time, ups and downs, your reflections on his Vegas video.
Well, I think that the main thing is that I don't see anything that we that needs supporting in terms of his status with us has not been impacted in any way. And frankly, I know how conscientious he's been in the off season, and that's good enough. No, I don't see that having any consequences for us.
We'll see what the league has to say. I don't think he'll get in much trouble for what he did. It's just another video that doesn't look good. We were praising him a couple weeks ago. He decided he was going to pay for a young person's funeral who had died.
Right.
It was a football star, and said, hey, maybe, you know, he's trying to turn over a new leaf. Well, maybe he just did a really nice thing and he still acts like a fool.
Both can be true.
Yeah, and it seems like both have been true over the last few weeks. 1,400 yards, 6 touchdowns last year, a 4,000-yard rusher already in 3 seasons in the NFL. Playoff hero Julian Edelman's been paid by the New England Patriots. He was at their facility this week talking with reporters, and he is pumped about his new payday.
It's awesome. You know, I'm born here in my football career, and, I'm going to have a few more years here, and you know, I just want to take a second and thank the Kraft family, Coach Belichick, Nick Caserio, and everyone that was involved, my agents, for getting this done. I love being here. I don't want to be anywhere else, and I'm excited for this upcoming year, and I'm excited for this spring to work on our fundamentals and mold our team and keep it going.
9 seasons with the Patriots now for Julian Edelman. Last year, despite missing 4 games, 74 grabs for 850 yards.
Just really good player.
He would have been 90 catches and well over probably 1,100 yards with 8 or 9 touchdowns. He's a Pro Bowl talent. He's been one of the best playoff performers in recent league history.
I think of this because the way the Patriots do it, they are not scared to move on from a guy a year early or 2 years early or whatever it is, right? I'll never forget, Richard Seymour was excellent, and they just exiled him because they were going to have to pay him at some point. They always move on from guys before they've got to pay him big money, Tom Brady notwithstanding. I feel like it's the extra blessing. It's like the Godfather's blessing, the Pope's blessing. If you get paid by the Patriots, it's the ultimate endorsement because they find a million Julian Edelmans. They'll find the next option quarterback out of like a 1AA school to run routes in the slot. It's a huge deal if it's like, you get past the gate, you get to stay for an extended period of time.
Our trip around the NFL with the news and notes from the league's OTA sessions will continue on Grant and Danny. You're about a half hour from the Beltway Blitz on the teams in town you care the most about. With Danny Ruye, I'm Grant Paulson. You're listening to The Fan. In the 12 o'clock hour today, we'll get back into the Nats. We're on Davey Martinez watch. They're getting started with a series against the Marlins. I mean, there's a lot of numbers we could throw at you about the worst record they've had and this era of Nationals baseball, 19-31. 45 teams have been there since 2005. Only one's made the playoffs. Only 2 have won 80 games. Maybe the most stunning and staggering thing about their season, they've got the same number of losses as the Marlins. One of the worst-built Major League rosters ever. Ever assembled. By design,
yeah,
by the way.
Purposefully. In Miami, they're not doing what we're doing. In Miami, they're like, yeah, they're rebuilding. It's bad.
No, in Miami right now, they're giddy because a bunch of donks have won 6 straight games.
Yeah, they're like, what do you want to talk about? For here, the only team trying to win and not is the Nationals.
Let's get back to our around the NFL convo, though. A lot going on. OTAs all around the country. Start you off with Drew Brees and the Saints. Last year, they were on the brink of a Super Bowl. Brees trying to cement that legacy with a second title. The 40-year-old now will turn 41 at the end of this football season. He's still not really slowing down. You thought the arm strength was going a couple years ago. Turned out that was health-related. 32 touchdowns, 5 picks, right around 4,000 passing yards and a 115 rating despite not playing all 16 games last year.
You know, there's always something to prove, right? And bottom line is every team, you know, there's only one team that's walking away happy, right? And everybody else feels like they fell off the mountain and they're sitting down at the bottom now. here goes the climb, right? One step at a time. And so I'm not thinking about February of 2020 right now. That's a long way away, right? And that's an overwhelming feeling if you decide to look to there. So I'm just focused on the here and now, staying in the moment, enjoying getting a chance to be out here and work with a lot of these young guys, work with a lot of these new guys like Jared Cook and others, and just watching it all come together again.
I love listening to Drew Brees talk. He just seems like such a first-class CEO of an outfit, dream scenario at quarterback. What a career.
Yep.
Hall of Famer, one of the greats ever. And I think it's pretty simple. He's trying to win one more title. If the Saints do that, then he walks away. If not, he probably has a long, hard decision to make this offseason.
So a couple things. I love Drew Brees. You will not get me to say anything bad about Drew Brees. The dirty little secret, or kind of the whisper around football, some of the analytics guys, the really smart people that I read. I'm not smart, but I read the people that are smart. Over Brees' last 8 games, he only averaged 6.7 yards per attempt with a very pedestrian 11-6 touchdown interception ratio. There are whispers of a decline. Now, I find that kind of funny and puzzling for someone that's not based on physical skill. This is not a howitzer for an arm, I'm throwing it 80 yards downfield on a line type guy. He's always been about intelligence and, you know, moving his feet and smarts and savvy and delivering the football before a guy even turns. But the production speaks for itself. Then you look at the Saints team. Ted Ginn, their deep threat, is 34. Jared Cook is 32. And there was a regression of Traquan Smith, the guy that torched the Redskins, down the stretch instead of kind of breaking out. They haven't quite gotten this tight end spot right. Max Unger retired. New Orleans is vulnerable. Now, they're still good. Nobody's saying that they're bad. I don't know that anybody in that division is going to challenge them, but there's a little bit of a waning confidence in that top-heavy offense, which is about Kamara and Michael Thomas.
And I always feel like in the NFC South, everybody's vulnerable because those teams all generally jumbled up.
That's
although
true.
The Cam Newton situation in Carolina waters down their chances maybe a little bit. I'm interested to hear that about Brees, what you just said. I don't view it that way at all.
I don't either. I
know he had a couple clunkers. That Panthers game when they won 12-9, they still won. And the Cowboys game that they lost 13-10 were late in the year in like December timeframe.
Mm-hmm.
He was great against the Eagles
yes.
in the playoffs in a win. He was really good, I thought, in that Rams game. Maybe you make one or two different plays, but they won the NFC Championship game, if not for the worst call I've ever seen in my life.
That's that.
All due respect to Sean McVay and the Rams. The Saints won that game behind Drew Brees having a pretty big second half. So that's weird to hear that people think he might be done.
It's out there. So the whispers of decline, which I not my instinct, but it's out there.
32 touchdowns, 5 picks, and about 4,000 yards last year.
It's pretty good.
Give me that decline, please.
Pretty good.
And thank
you. I'd like to decline that way.
The big story when the Jets blew out their general manager last week was that there was a huge debate internally between the former GM and their new head coach, Adam Gase, on whether or not they should have signed Le'Veon Bell. Gase didn't want them to. They went and did it anyway because the GM McCagnan wanted to. Well, Gase is now having to answer questions because he didn't want Le'Veon Bell, supposedly, that they're going to trade him, and he shot down that possibility immediately.
Going back to Le'Veon for a second, there's been some speculation that you guys might try to trade him before the season even starts.
That's ridiculous. That's the first time I've heard of that.
So that's not going to happen?
No.
I mean, he's not even acknowledging that as a decent question. Now, I'll say this about Gase, though. He also got very antsy and up in arms and very edgy and moody and irritable when he was asked about a quote-unquote feud between he and McCagnan like mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago, and he acted like that was the dumbest question he'd ever heard, and then McCagnan was blown out a couple weeks later. He was asked yesterday about whether or not he was involved in pushing him out the door.
And whether it's true or not, what do you make of the widespread belief that you stabbed Mike McCagnan in the back after?
Yeah, that would be false. That's just not true. Christopher made a decision.
Christopher, of course, is the top of the front office there, Bruce Allen and ownership group, as they decided to move on from McCagnan. The Jets have gone 5-11, 5-11, 4-12 the last 3 years. They fired Todd Bowles. They've hired Gase, who has failed up now to being their acting GM as they search for another.
Mm.
They've blown out their executive this offseason.
They're
after
a mess, dude.
3 straight last-place finishes. They might be the most dysfunctional team in the NFL right now. The Raiders had been giving them a run for their money, but with the Redskins at least momentarily having seemingly gotten their act together a little bit more, maybe it's the Jets.
I think the Jets are the one seed.
We're not the worst.
We're not the worst.
We're not the worst. We're not the worst.
It is. And they, and the thing that you know when it's the worst or when it's the baddest, when guys internally can't understand outside why they're being lampooned that way. I mean, the Redskins for years had this mantle where it was constant nonsense and a story would come out, and they were surprised at the reaction. The Jets have been befuddled, apparently, according to what I've read, by the public reaction to all their different things, where it looks like they don't have their act together. It's because they don't.
Donovan McNabb says he's a Hall of Famer and says he has better career numbers than Troy Aikman. Here's where you've got to be careful with numbers, and this is coming from a numbers guy that uses numbers to make a lot of my arguments. When you play in different eras, and it's not like these are 25-year-apart quarterbacks, but Aikman started playing in 89 and stopped playing in 2000. McNabb started playing in 99 and stopped playing in 2011. The eras are different. It was easier to throw the ball in McNabb's era than Aikman's. He had 37,000 passing yards and 234 touchdowns. Aikman, 32,165. I actually don't think his argument is that crazy. He had an 85 rating to Aikman's 81. I think Aikman, by and large, is overrated, and we elevate guys with Super Bowl rings, obviously. But the notion that I've got better numbers than the Hall of Famer, so I deserve to be a Hall of Famer, in and of itself is one I don't buy.
Who's a better player, Joe Flacco or Boomer Esiason?
I would say Boomer Esiason.
Who's a better player? I don't know. You go Matt Ryan or Dan Fouts, right? Or Kerry Collins or Joe Montana. There's eras, man. Eras matter. Context matters. What were you doing at the time of your peers? Now, I will also say this. It's not outrageous that Donovan McNabb could be a Hall of Famer because he was really good for a number of years.
It's also not outrageous that he's every bit as good or better than Aikman. I guess my point is when people just start saying, I threw for 5,000 more yards and 80 more touchdowns, that to me matters a lot less in the conversation just because you didn't play at the same time as him. Right now, today, it's never been easier to throw the football than it is and to accumulate big numbers. In terms of Hall of Fame candidacy, we're going to have to move the goalposts a little bit, or we won't because it's the NFL and everybody who ever played six downs seems to get it.
Joe Flacco has more passing yards than Steve Young. Steve Young's one of the greats of all time. Right? You see what I'm saying? You can't. It's not fair to compare.
Next, let's win off the field. You call us. You tell us how you are in the win column. What little things gone right in your day on this Friday? We only do this once a week, so take advantage next. 800-636-1067. We're Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It'll kill you. That thing will blow you apart.
Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. It is time to figure out how you are winning off the field. These are the little teeny tiny things that worked out for you today. They don't matter a whole lot to anybody else. They certainly aren't going to matter a whole lot to you come tomorrow, but just something small that happened in your life that made your day better. Don't do it for me. Don't do it for Danny. We do it because Bruce Allen once said,
we're winning off the field, but we got to start winning on the field.
An example on Twitter, Bikias tweeted us and said, yesterday I had to take a phone call when the Mets came to bat in the eighth inning. I had to leave the room. Therefore, I was
winning off the field.
Very well done. Danny, give an example.
Last night, babysitter, okay, mother-in-law, so it didn't cost us anything. Yeah. Thank you very much, Coach. Wife, me, two of her friends, the Salt Line. I love the Salt Line. I love it. It's the one right behind Nats Park, right behind home plate or the first baseline. It's really nice. It's not
Danny
pretentious.
Rowler.
Thank you very much.
I've only eaten there once, and it was kind of like a happy hour type situation. Yeah. I get the sense dinner there is very like elegant and nice. You wouldn't just do it on a Wednesday.
But it's not like Del Mar or Fiola Mare, where that's how that feels. That's like it's those places are great in their own right, but it's like that's the occasion. It's your 30th birthday. Now we're going there, right? The Salt Line is approachable, yet the food is excellent.
Authentic Natty Boat Collection.
I love the Salt Line. I love it. Outdoor bar is outstanding. That's for people that like to have fun. Whatever, not for me. I like to go inside. I like to eat appies. I like to eat delicious dinner. Everything was incredible.
Was it just a night out, or was there an occasion?
Just the night out.
Good for you.
Just the night out. And people are willing to come babysit my hellions of children. It was awesome. Therefore, I was.
Winning off the field.
I like that one a lot. I'm actually going to go over to the ballpark today. Now, I don't think I would love to stay for the game. I'd love more than anything to get to watch the Nats at home tonight. I don't think I'll be able to do that. It's just a lot to ask. The wife was home with the baby all day long.
Of course, yeah.
To then let me go watch a baseball game at night. But I am going to go over and spend some time in the clubhouse and try to chat with a couple people and just generally have a little fun covering some baseball.
The pregame show.
This afternoon. It will be pregame activities, Michael Phillips. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
I'm doing the same thing, my friend. I am going to the game, though. I got myself a sweet ticket.
Look at you.
Yes.
Big weekend for Danny.
Big weekend.
Let's go to Matt in Stafford. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, congrats, Bob. Belated. Hey, I saw an eagle.
Yeah. You saw an eagle?
And I had a great Kinnear stare on my face.
Winning off the field?
That's a creature.
Good Greg Kinnear pull. We talked about Greg Kinnear for 7 seconds earlier in the week. And I was like, Greg Kinnear is always making that I'm about to cry face.
I had no idea. I'm telling you, I love Matt. I would say 35% of the time, I have no idea what he's talking
Surprise.
About.
Surprise.
Thank you, Michael Phillips, Berkshire Times-Dispatch.
Like, you need to, someone needs to explain to me, like, hey, we talked about Greg Kinnear one day. I referenced his face.
So I happen to remember it. But I think I got the same shooting percentage. I think Maddie just shoots the moon with an obscure reference, assuming group. We talk for 4 hours every day. We talk before the show. We talk after the show. We do so much talking.
We're saying a lot of things.
It's hard to remember everything you said. And you try to be accountable. You do the best you can. Maddie is in Encyclopedia Britannica on the different things that we say. That's amazing.
Let's go to Rich in Olney. Richard. Hey, Rich, how are you?
Hey, Bob.
What's going on, guys? So I live in a little neighborhood. There's an HOA. They're pretty useless 99% of the time. I saw they actually added a grill to the neighborhood pool. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Really? Tell me more about this grill situation, Rich.
That's pretty basic. It's just a gas grill up in the corner, but now I don't have to walk back and forth to keep checking on dinner from my house.
Oh, man.
If you have a pool and you don't have a grill.
Do you even have a pool?
What's the point of the pool?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I think the toughest thing for me about when I was living in an apartment before I got the townhouse was the restrictions and the rules on grilling. And I always said, you know, you go apartment to apartment and you're looking and I have these little list of things I need. I need decent parking, or like at one point in my life, I went from like, I need an ice maker. You know, that was a restriction. That was something I had to have. Like, I need a basement. It changed over the years.
Yeah, the list of wants.
But one thing for sure was I always said I need like a grill that's walkable, that's very close so I can like go outside in a little patio or something. But you never do it. If you're using a common grill with a bunch of people, like in a courtyard in an apartment where there's a couple of them, if you can't have your own grill on your own balcony, you're just not going to use it. It's too much of a hassle. You got to see have someone clean the grill, is someone using it right now. It's a perfect day. Someone probably beat you to it. You got to have grill options. You just have to.
So our condo opens up out back before like there's a big common area, big grass area, nice little nature preserve, whatever you call it. So we got our own grill in our little back porch. And that's the key. Thank you very much, Sonny B. Because there are public grills for use that everybody can use. We got our own. Because I'm with you. It always feels like when you want to use it, someone else is using it, or it's like too much of a hassle, even though it's only 50 feet. Something about it is different. We got our own. And it's a big deal.
It will scald you to death. It will blow the skin and muscle off your bone.
If you're not careful with the grill, that's true. You got to respect it. It is fire.
Let's get to Ben in Rockville. Winning off the field. How,
hey,
Ben?
Hey, Ben.
I just found out completely randomly while picking up money that from my workplace that they just changed the law to 21 for buying cigarettes. So now I get to kick out anyone under 21 for buying cigarettes. So that actually legally protects me, too. So that's a giant winning off the field.
Hold on.
Winning
wait
off
up.
The field.
So,
that was very good. I don't get it.
You can't buy any cigarettes in Maryland now until you're 21?
Correct. They just literally just changed it, so it's definitely winning off. I just found it out randomly. It was not expected. I just found it out.
Okay, and he runs a story saying, so all the kids that come in to get cigarettes, he doesn't have to deal with
them. Hey, Baltimore!
Oh, so that's what it was. So I was like, didn't it sound like he was going to lose customers and was happy about it? But that's not what it is. It's that you don't want the annoying kids.
I think that's what it
is. Gotcha. Okay.
Also, I didn't know that was a thing. I heard that there was the huge problem with like e-cigarettes now and vaping and all that. So they wanted to make some changes.
Juuling and the whatnot.
For young people. But Dom's saying like 3 days ago they passed this. Hadn't heard that. That's probably overall a good thing. I mean, I think when you're 18, you should be able to do whatever you want. But just preventing more people from getting cancer is probably the best we could do.
Yeah, restrict smoking always.
How about no one should smoke?
Yeah, it's
I don't
so
care
gross.
How old you are.
But at least it's terrible for you.
Phil in Alexandria.
Hey, guys. Hey, how you doing?
Good. Good.
So my wife got tickets to see the Avett Brothers tonight at Wolf Trap, and she decided to meet at the concert, too.
So sweet of her. By the way, this is our Phil in Alexandria.
Yeah, it is our Phil. It's our boy
he
Phil.
Never calls in. That's the first time he's called in months. Therefore, we are.
Winning off the field.
My brother's going to that Avett Brothers show, Phil. So look for a guy that looks kind of like me. He'll be on a blanket somewhere.
But super thin. I mean, all the Paulsons are thin now.
Dude.
Which brother is it?
It's Ryan.
Do you even know if it's Ryan? Like, would you recognize him if he was here right now?
It'd be hard to. They both lost about 100 pounds.
Unbelievable what they've done.
Craig in Arlington. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah, I'm driving down to 1015 Half Street to pick up two tickets for the Nats game on Sunday that I won through a ridiculously easy question yesterday on the fan. Therefore, I am
winning off
whose
the field.
Question was it?
Was it ours?
Yes, it was. What was the only Nats player to be interviewed by you guys this week?
Old Sean Doolittle. Yeah. Well done, Craig. Well, enjoy the game.
It's easy if you listen. That's the idea.
You
got to
be listening earlier in the week, and then when we ask the question, that's the point.
Have fun.
We said we got to make this difficult. Brent and Danny.
Yeah, it's difficult if you weren't listening.
On the fan, the Beltway Blitz is next.
Folks, Danny
Reed. He'll kill you. That thing will blow you apart.
I was not ready for that guy today. Oh, my goodness. Happy anniversary to my guys over at Ted Bridford, right? Not of going up into a rocket to prove that the earth is flat. Not like that guy, no.
It will scald you to death. It will blow the skin and muscle off your bones.
That's how good these deals are. 60 days of no payments for their Summer of 60 event. They've been in business for 60 years, Ted Bridford has. These deals are so good, it will scald you, not literally, figuratively, because they're so hot. The deals are hot, like the summer. 60 years in business.
And then probably blow your back about 50 foot.
Yeah, probably about 50 feet. That's when you see this deal, crazy guy. $12,000 off the MSRP on a new 2019 F-150. 50 foot is how far you'll be blown back. No payments for 60 days. $9,000 off the MSRP on a 2019 Ford Explorer.
So the only thing I know to do, I hate to disappoint everybody. It's the last thing I want to do is cry him out of the thing, okay? I'm ready.
You're ready for a new car. Truck SUV from Ted Bird Ford. You're not going to disappoint anybody when you go to Ted Bird Ford. In fact, it's the opposite. You'd be very pleased. You're willing to go back and see them again and again and again. That's how they've been in business for 60 years. So what was I saying about the 2019 Ford Explorer?
That was my worst nightmare.
Not getting this kind of deal? I know. 60 payment. No payments for 60 days on that Ford Explorer. $8,500 off the MSRP on a 2019 Edge and no payments for 60 days. These guys are the best. You've got to go see them. They've been doing this for 60 years, and they've been doing it well. You don't stay in business 60 years by accident.
But I tell you one thing, I thank the grace of somebody, that thing could have fired while I'm getting pulled out of it.
I didn't even know what that part meant. The point is this, go see my guys at Ted Bridford, and please tell them Danny and the guys take care of the question.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.